Well, if you remember 2 weeks ago, last time we had service, I opened a mini-series on breaking strongholds. And I shared with you, I'll just repeat this so it's fresh in everybody's mind and for those that maybe weren't here. When Pastor Leslie Kegel was here at our church ministering back in 2007, he identified the three principalities that dominated this area. And they are hopelessness, which we covered that 2 weeks ago. Hopelessness. The second one is greed. And the third one is lust, in that order. So last week we dealt with hopelessness. Today, let's deal with greed. And see where God takes us. Our foundational scripture for our message on breaking strongholds today, part two, is Luke 12, 13 through 21. If you want to turn with me. Luke 12, verses 13 through 21. It reads as follows. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God.'" Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray for every single person here today within the hearing of this message that, Lord, our hearts would be open, that our ears would be open, that we would be receptive to your word, for the conviction of your word and the instruction of it, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross of Calvary as I bring this message, and that, Lord, you would reveal yourself in it and put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words you ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so greed, according to the Holman Bible Dictionary, is excessive desire to acquire. Covetousness. Excessive desire to acquire. If we're going to be honest, isn't that the American way?
Yeah.
Got to level with you. I have things I don't need. I don't think it's sin that I have things that I don't need. I don't have anything that if God told me sell it tomorrow, it would be gone. I sell it. Actually, I've had that happen. I've shared that story with you before. A car I had that I had worked hard on and restored. And God, he speaks pretty frank to me. One day he said to me, "Sell that car. You're being an idiot. speaks very frank with me. And I was like, oh, I rebuke you, devil. I'm just being honest. You know, we try it all, you know. And God said, no, you sell that car. Well, I was being an idiot. Our kids were little. When they'd get in the car, I was all crazy when they were in the back seat. Don't put your feet up on the seat. Don't lay like that and put your feet on the headliner. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I wondered why when I looked at my kids and said, hey, we're going to go for a ride today and we're going to take the car. And they'd look at each other like, oh, great. No, this is going to be fun, right? So anyway, for the benefit of those who haven't heard this story, and I put a price on that car that I didn't think anybody would pay. Yeah, right. God said the first person that looked at it, loved it, came back with a cashier's check for the full amount. And as the young lady was driving away in my car with the signed title in her hand, I felt a little tear. But it was a lesson well learned. It was a form of an idol in my life, even though I didn't realize it. Because I loved God as much then as I do now, guys. I loved Him every bit as much then. But that thing became a problem in my life. And it took God to point it out to me. My kids were afraid to. They were little. You remember that? I'm getting this. So anyway, excessive desire to acquire. In our story, before we even get to the parable, when someone said to the crowd, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Listen, guys. I have been slightly involved, at least, in many, many families that are dealing with inheritances because I have done a whole lot of funerals in the almost 25 years that I've been pastoring now. I've done a lot of funerals. And I've seen families fighting over inheritance so bad that at the funeral, they wouldn't sit near each other. At the funeral luncheon, they wouldn't get near each other. I'm serious. This sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, it's for real. And what is at the core of it is this greedy spirit that Leslie Kegel picked up on. By the way, Leslie Kegel is a pastor from Sri Lanka that is very discerning. And in Sri Lanka, there is a whole lot of demonic activity. So he understands spiritual warfare to the maximum. And he is very discerning. So when he said that, it's one of them deals where when he says that, you want to pay attention. So that's why, obviously, I paid attention. So here we are, talking about greed after talking about hopelessness last time. So if we examine our lives, we could probably, if we're honest with ourselves, identify areas in our life where we are greedy. I've had people over the years, I teach and I practice, ever since I got born again, I've practiced tithing and offerings. Okay? My wife and I do. We've been in agreement on that. I didn't know it, but She was doing it, and I wasn't in agreement on it. I just didn't know before I was saved. But we're in agreement on it. But I have had countless people over the years tell me every excuse in the book for why they don't tithe. And I'm talking about a biblical tithe. But let me tell you what is at the core of it when a person does not tithe is greed. It's greed. There is no other name for it. It's greed. That's at the core of it. Because what the person is saying is, I don't need to give that because I won't have enough. And what we don't realize many times when we take on that attitude is that God can do more with 90% of our gross income than we can do with 100%. See, because it's not that God needs our money. It's that He needs our obedience. You understand what I'm saying? And the money, actually, is what funds the church, the ministry, and other ministries. Because when we have the flow of money for the tithe, then that expands what the church is able to do, not only in the church, but in the region and beyond throughout the world. Then there's money for missions, there's money for all kinds of things, whatever God leads. We have been able to minister, this church, this little church in Fulton, Illinois over the years, has ministered in a very effective way financially in Cambodia. Pastor Ted, when he died, it rocked my world. It was so sudden. It rocked a lot of people's world. But he used to go all over different places, and he would tell people two things about this little church in Fulton, Illinois. He used to tell people everywhere he went. He said, they've got some of the biggest people you'll ever see. He was blown away by the stature of some of the people in our church over the years. And also he said, that little church is doing more financially for us in Cambodia than some of the mega churches that are on board with us. Our little church is one of the biggest givers over the years. Now, please understand, I'm not standing here saying that in a bragging way at all. But I'm saying that to exhort you and praise God for you people because you're givers. You don't see this church having fundraisers, do you? It's because we have people that give. We don't have fundraisers. Fact is, that's something God spoke to me when He spoke to me about planting this church. He said, I don't want you having fundraisers. We just plain don't do them. And because, here's what God spoke to me. I will bring in what you need before you need it. And He has since the day we opened this church. For those of you who are new here, you need to understand something. We started this church from nothing. And this church has never had a cent of debt. I signed my name on the dotted line because somebody had to be responsible. And we rented this building that was available for 12 months. And at the end of those 12 months, we wrote a check for this building. We have never, ever had debt in this church. And I dare say, at least as long as I'm alive, we never will. I've got a council that understands, and they're in agreement, so probably beyond my lifetime. Because God said, don't take on any debt. You might say, what's the problem with debt? Well, sometimes it's not a problem, but sometimes it is. And what happens is the ministry serves the building instead of the building serving the ministry. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you're carrying a bunch of debt on a building, you can end up serving the building. And all of a sudden you got yourself in a place where you've got to have fundraisers all the time. You're always twisting people's arms for money. You don't see me stand up here before an offering. I just announce that the offering's going to be, this will be the offering song. I have never stood up here and pounded the pulpit for money. Am I telling the truth? Never will. Because what God spoke to me. That being said, when God leads randomly, I do preach on tithing and giving and the importance of it. Right? But never will I stand up here and pound the pulpit like you see some people do. There are, and I'm not picking on anybody, they can do whatever they feel led to do, but as for us, I don't like it when I've been to churches where I've been to meetings and they spend 15 minutes twisting people's arms for money before they take the offering. I'm serious. 15 minutes. That's not right. That's just not right. So, here's the deal. Resist the stronghold of greed in your life, guys. First example is the greed of Eli and his sons for the best part of the sacrifices, and it disqualified them from the priesthood. You've probably never thought about Eli from this way. Maybe you've never thought about Eli at all. I don't know. Today we're going to think about Eli, all right? So if you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2, we'll read verses 27 through 30. Beginning to read. Now a man of God came to Eli and said to him, this is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose your father out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave your father's house all the offerings made with fire by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel? Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that your house and your father's house would minister before me forever. But now, the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me, I will disdain. So, what do we see here? First of all, we see that God had chosen his father out of the tribes of Israel to be his priest to do three things. To go up to the altar. He had to be the priest to approach the altar. Okay? Pretty important role. You also had to be a priest to burn the incense. If you lit strange fire, you were surely going to die. So you had to be a priest to do that. I'm trying to explain to you why he was making this clear. And thirdly, to wear an ephod in his presence. What's the significance of that? Well, the person that wore the ephod displayed the fact that they were leaders over God's people. Okay? They were leaders over God's people. And that was displayed in the fact that they were wearing the ephod. He also gave the Father's house all the offerings made with fire by the Israelites. And he says, why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you fatten yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel? People that hang on to what comes into their, let's call it gain, whatever gain comes in, who hangs on to it with closed fists, is a person that is greedy. You look throughout Scripture, I have. Throughout Scripture, we get the idea that we are supposed to be open-handed believers. That it should come in our hand, go out our hand. We should be a channel of God's wealth to other people. We should be a channel. When a person is greedy, it's like putting up a dam and it stops everything up. When that spirit of greed. Now, the enemy wants people greedy. Why? Because it keeps everybody from getting God's best. As I was talking about earlier, I am so thankful that I pastor a church that we have people that believe the Word of God, trust God to fulfill His Word, people that tithe and give offerings, people that are generous. I'm thankful to pastor a church like that. That's why I can stand up here and share the testimony that this church has never known debt, even though we have never had a fundraiser. It's amazing. I meet with other pastors and we'll talk about different things, and when that has come up, it stops them right in their tracks, other pastors, and they say, what? And I tell them the testimony. This is what God spoke almost 21 years ago. This is where we're at. This is what God has done. It's all God. But God works through His people. Amen? He says, I promised, God says, that your house and your father's house would minister before me forever. Now remember, greed came in. Okay? And God had promised that His house would minister before them forever. When this house, he's talking about the family, would minister before Him forever. But there's a three-letter word after that. But. That usually is not a good thing. When those three letters follow up a statement like that. But now, the Lord declares, far be it from me. This is one of those instances in the Word where we see very clearly God does sometimes change His mind. There are other instances in the Word of God. There are not a lot of accounts of God changing his mind. But this is one of those accounts where God changed his mind. Am I telling you the truth? I mean, we're reading it together. It's right there. God changed his mind. Because of what?
Greed.
You think maybe that's a big deal to God? I think it is. It must be a pretty big deal. Because it's not very often. I can't tell you, I've never done the research to nail down how many times God changed his mind as it's recorded in the Bible. I don't know how many times, but I know from reading the Bible for years that it's not very many times that we see the account of God changing his mind. And I'm here to tell you, every time that he did change his mind, he had a good reason for it. So greed is a big enough reason for God to change his mind. He follows that up with it. Far be it from me. He says, those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me will be disdained. You see, God looks at disobedience in any area in our life as disdain. We don't think about that. But every area of disobedience, he looks at as disdain. And he looks at obedience as honoring him. Those who honor me, I will. That's right. God's word is absolute truth. Those who honor him in every area of our lives, every area of our lives, so, there's the account of Eli and God changing his mind and the account of all that because of greed. Secondly, Jesus warned against all types of greed. In verse 15 of our text, says, then he said to them, watch out! It's capitalized, watch is capitalized, and there's an exclamation point after that. The translators, of course, put that in because there's no punctuation in the original language. Okay? But the translators put that in because the context of it was saying more like, it wasn't like, oh, by the way, watch out. It was like, watch out! Right? Watch out! It's like, something's coming. He said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, whatever it is. Be on guard. Watch out for every kind of greed. So in other words, we're supposed to be examining ourselves regularly. Am I greedy? Am I greedy? Has it crept in? Because I don't care how much you love Jesus. I just testified to you. I love Jesus with all my heart. And God had to correct me. It made a lasting impression on me. How about you? Has God corrected you and it made a lasting impression? He's really good at that. He's a good daddy, right? Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. See, the American thought is this: the person with the most stuff wins. Most people aren't going to come right out and say that to you, but you look at what's deemed as the American way, that's kind of what it sums up to. Person with the most stuff wins. Listen, guys, we're not playing a Monopoly game. This is life, not Monopoly. This is life. And we don't have to have Boardwalk to be happy. Because our joy is in the Lord. And our joy and fulfillment is being right where God wants us. It's where it is. Now please understand, my intent in this message is not to say the more broke you are, the more spiritual you are. That would be absolutely wrong. I am not anti-wealth. I am anti-greed. God is not anti-wealth. God is anti-greed. Do you see the difference? Paul's standard, thirdly, Paul's standard for Christian ministry gave no room for greed either. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 5, we see that. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 5. Says, you know, we never use flattery. Again, this is Paul. He wrote the letter to the church in Thessalonica. This is the first letter. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. Paul is saying here to the church, he's reminding them, listen, we didn't show up to just take from you. We didn't show up with a mask on to cover up greed that we might have had. We didn't come to just take. Be honest, how many of you have run into more than enough takers in life? We need more givers, right? Greed marked the pagan way of life. I want to tell you at this point what covetousness means, according to Barnes' notes on the New Testament. Covetousness is an unlawful desire for the property of another. Also, a desire for a gain of riches beyond what is necessary for our needs. It is a violation of the 10th commandment and is referred to as idolatry. That's what Barnes' notes on the New Testament has to say about covetousness. We know that we're not supposed to covet anything. Right? Exodus 20, verse 17. It's where the Ten Commandments are recorded. says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Covetousness has its roots in greed. That's why I'm bringing this up. Covetousness has its roots deep in greed. And greed, there's a spirit, obviously, that comes on a person that becomes greedy. Unlawful desire for the property of another. Kind of reminds me of Naboth's vineyard and Jezebel, doesn't it? How many of you know what I'm talking about? This verse is, let me pick this apart. I wasn't good at it, but I'm feeling moved to pick this apart. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. Boy, I have known people over the years that covet somebody's house. I admire people. You know, people got nice places. I admire it. I'm happy for them. I think it's fabulous. But some people, they covet. They want that. You know, you're headed down that road of covetousness when you find yourself asking yourself, why do they get that? Isn't that right? Maybe even not saying it out loud, but inside you, the still small voice that says, why do they get that? Then it goes from there to, I work harder than they do. I got a tough job. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. People! It's the attitude that we get if we're not careful. It's why we're supposed to guard our hearts, guys. Shall not covet your neighbor's wife. That brings to mind David and Bathsheba, and that didn't go well. Right? David was coveting her. I'm telling you, I've pondered this for a long time and studied it. Here's what I think about David. He was a man after God's own heart, but he had a weakness, clearly. It was the time of the year he was supposed to be gone at war. His hands were trained for war. It's why he was not allowed to build the temple. Solomon was. He was told his hands were trained for war, that he was supposed to pass that off to Solomon, even though he had a desire to build the temple. David was supposed to be at war. I personally think that David stayed back from war. He knew Uriah was at war. I personally think that he was up walking on the roof at that time of the day because he was looking to see Bathsheba over there on the other roof. He was coveting his neighbor's wife. You hear what I'm saying? You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant. Today, you shouldn't be coveting somebody else's employees. His ox or donkey. So they're not supposed to covet his tractor, even if it is a John Deere. I can't help myself sometimes, Vern. Vern tells me that tractors are red and crops are green. We keep this thing going. It's been going for a few years now. Thank you. You're not supposed to covet your neighbor's tractor, even if it is a John Deere. You're not supposed to covet his donkey either. In other words, you're not supposed to covet his car. Or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Anything. Guys, if we really ponder this, we can see in our world that greed manifest. We can see it clearly in this area, because I've really been pondering it. God brought this back to me after 16 years. I wasn't thinking about it. He just brought it up in my mind, and I remember I had to go dig through stuff and find my notes from what... Because I don't throw anything away. I keep files. After this many years, you wouldn't believe all the files of stuff I have. I found it. Took me a while, but I found it. And here we are. We're going through it again because I believe God is reminding us. He wants us to be reminded about this so that we stand against this tendency to be greedy. And who knows, sometimes the Lord gives foreknowledge of something so that we can be ready for the onslaught that comes. It could be the enemy's going to turn up the dial on these three things in our area or in our nation or worldwide, I don't know. But by golly, by the time we're done here, we're going to be privy to it, right?
Amen.
Colossians 3, verses 5 and 6. Colossians 3. And this will be our last scripture. I guess my intention will be to address lust next week. Colossians 3, 5 and 6. Beginning to read. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. When you see scripture that talks about God's wrath, that's time to be scared. Because as I've said many times, God's wrath is way beyond and way different than God's judgment. When God sends judgment, His purpose for sending judgment is to bring people to repentance. That's what judgment is intended to do. So what I'm saying to you is out of God's great love for His people, He sends judgment to make His people uncomfortable, maybe even hurting, so that they will turn back to God and serve Him. When wrath is unleashed, people are going to die. There's no repentance. When He unleashes wrath, you can check me on it. Look up wherever He unleashed wrath in Scripture. Gobs of people get dead. There's no more room for repentance. That time is gone. When He unleashes His wrath, that's it. And there's this whole list of things that we see a lot of. These two verses, I could have spent today preaching on these two verses. You know, it's a big problem, but we're focused on greed right now. Evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Remember I told you that story in the start of this message about that car that God made me sell. Well, man, I was being an idiot. it was. It had become an idol. Not that it's wrong to not want your kids to trash your vehicles and all that, or your house. I'm not saying that at all. You don't just let them. But I was over the top, guys. I mean, if they had dust on their feet. I'm not talking about climbing into the mud. They had dust. You brush your feet off. Crazy. And that's where it can go when we get our eyes off the author and perfecter of our faith and onto things. How quickly it can happen to any of us when our eyes are off of Him and onto things. It's not wrong to have things as long as things don't control us. We can have all kinds of nice things. God loves to bless His kids. But those things should never control us. He alone is our Lord. Amen? All right, well, we're done with that part. I guess the idea is next week to address lust. Now, don't stay home. I know that can be a tough one, but don't you stay home just because I warned you. Let's take our medicine together. How about it? Let's stand together. Lord, I just stretch my hands over your people merely as your vessel. And I proclaim health. I proclaim your goodness. I proclaim that we have heard your word and that you are sealing this word in our hearts today by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for your love, for all the instruction that you have given us in your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word lacks nothing. Every answer to every problem in life is in your word. And Lord, we've seen some of it today as we've looked into greed and how displeasing that is to you. We are sorry, Lord, for the times when we have been greedy. We pray that by your Spirit, through revelation, that we would correct the things that we are greedy in, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that we will serve you and you alone. And as we leave today, let your light shine in us and through us, that we could be used to impact those in our circle of influence for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.